What's up? I'm Tyler.
And I'm Dakota.
And this is the Bourbon and Business Podcast,
where we interview successful businessmen and women to let you in on why success doesn't have a single formula to follow.
We also have a little bourbon tasting along the way, because why not?
So guys, please enjoy this episode and let us know your thoughts at Bourbon and Business Podcast on Instagram.
Coming to you from the Bourbon and Business Studio here at the Bridal Path in Madison, Mississippi. I'm Tyler.
And I'm Dakota.
And this is the Bourbon and Business Podcast. How you doing this morning, Dakota?
I'm doing great, Tyler. We're in a beautiful location here
yeah,
today.
Yeah, it's a very nice location. Great view, great atmosphere,
yeah.
Great town.
Yeah, so it's fantastic.
I think this is our first time to record in Madison, so shout out to all our Madison listeners.
Yeah, no doubt. It's yeah. It's wonderful.
Yeah, shout out to you, Adam Black. We know you live here. Well, we want to give a shout out to our sponsor, the Capital Club. Even though we're not recording there today, we appreciate the sponsorship. And we also want to tell all our listeners, if you're not a member of the Capital Club, go online and find the Capital Club and check out all the things that they offer.
Fantastic views, fantastic event space, membership yeah. pricing, lunch every day. They've got everything.
Everything.
Great place to have a wedding reception, too.
Absolutely. Which brings us to our guest today.
Yeah. I didn't even have to say it.
Yeah. There you go. You perfect segue. So our guest today is special guest Audrey McCarty, owner of The Bridal Path.
Yes.
Audrey,
that is
welcome.
Me. Thank you. Thanks for having me on this. I'm thrilled.
Absolutely. Thank you for inviting us into your beautiful space here again. This is quite lovely.
Thank you. We have worked very hard on it, and it has been worth every bit of the last couple of years of planning and getting it together. So I'm thrilled to be able to do things like this.
Absolutely.
With y'all.
She was giving us a tour earlier, and every room has been like thoughtfully curated towards the brides. It is.
Yeah. I noticed that when I was in here.
It's impressive. It's impressive.
You know, for all our listeners that are like me, they have moved to Madison. Because I was thinking this morning it was next to Broad Street, but they're actually in Madison now. So if you're looking for the Bridal Path, don't go to Jackson.
That is correct.
Yes.
Well, you want to introduce our bourbon to us this morning?
Yes. Today we have Four Roses Small Batch. It's a 90 proof, established 1888. And, I mean, like our partner Adam said, we got to have some roses here for the Bridal Path.
Yeah. Well, I'll say it's a very good bourbon. So this is the first time I've had their small batch.
Okay.
I mean, I've drank Four Roses.
Sure, they're a huge
plenty
brand.
Of times.
Yeah.
So I might have to give it a 9.2.
That's a solid rating.
Very smooth whiskey.
Yeah. 9.2.
Yeah. And we'll get mine here in a little bit, and then Audrey will get yours at the end of the episode.
Okay.
We'll round it out.
And we want to give a shout out to our sponsor, Cheers Vineyards. If you're looking for any liquor, whiskey, wine, I don't know what else they have there, but they have plenty of stuff.
All kinds of stuff.
Go check out Cheers Vineyard and Gluckstadt, and ask for JT.
Yeah, if you're looking for a good conversation, John Thomas has it.
Well, John Thomas, he may not go by JT, so.
I asked him. He said it's cool.
Okay, good. He likes it.
Yeah, so we're good.
All right. Well, this morning, we always like to start this out, is just kind of give us your story, how you or where you grew up, and then how you got started the Bridal Path.
Yeah, sure. So I grew up in Madison, just right down the street, and started working retail before I could even drive. I sold prom and pageant dresses, some with Dakota's wife, too. She was there a lot. So got my start just loving fashion and loving people, and I love to do something where, you know, they need your help, they need your guidance on what looks great and what feels good on them, and so that's where it started. I've always had sort of an entrepreneurial spirit. Had a snow cone stand whenever I was, 5 years old at the end of the street and wanted to donate the proceeds to the animal shelter. All $5 of it. And so, whether it was selling friendship bracelets or whatever I could come up with, I always wanted to create something and, sell something to someone that made them happy. And so, I guess that's kind of where it all began. My dad was an entrepreneur and very successful, and so I guess just always been inspired by hard work and, you know, how it pays off. So I started in retail whenever I got done with high school. I went to Mississippi State. I was a fashion design and merchandising major and decided that I wanted to own a bridal store when I grew up. And my mom said, well, maybe you should, you know, go in a bridal store before you decide that that's what you want to do. And so that summer after my freshman year, I came to the Bridal Path, which at the time they had been owned for about 44 years by the same mother-daughter pair, and they were absolutely incredible. They started the Bridal Path and made it everything that it had been up until that point. And we knew them well. My mom reached out to her and said, hey, like, do you think Audrey could shadow you this summer? And they said, well, we're about to sell the Bridal Path to some new owners, but I'm sure that they would have you. So long story short, for some reason they took me in, and not only did I shadow, but I also was a full-time employee that summer. So I fell in love with it, learned every aspect that I could about the business, and went, you know, back to Mississippi State for my semester and just really tried to apply everything I learned there to knowing that I wanted to do this one day. And so my senior year of college, I was home for Christmas break, and the owners between us decided that they didn't want to do it anymore, and so they offered us to buy it, and it kind of just fell in my lap the last semester of my senior year of college. So I graduated on May the 1st. We closed on the Bridal Path May the 3rd. So to say that I jumped into owning a business with both feet and like head first, I legitimately did. And so we bought the Bridal Path. That'll be 6 years ago in May. I do it with my mom full time. My sister works here part time. She's a teacher full time, and then she's here on Saturdays and everything. So it's still mother daughter family business, and kind of just has been, not kind of, 150% has been a God thing, you know, just how the pieces fell into place. So it's been really cool. And that's kind of how I ended up here. I'm back in Madison, married to my high school sweetheart. And now we've moved the Bridal Path to Madison, which was never in the cards, but it's a great drive, you know, from here to there, two minutes. Right. So sure, we're thankful to be here for sure. So,
well, congratulations on that.
Yeah,
it's funny how those things work out. You know, you put yourself in the position, you know, kind of exploring what you want to do, and then the path kind of unfolds for you.
So absolutely.
We hear that a lot from our entrepreneurs that are on here. So
yeah, it's almost like manufactured luck, right? You put yourself in the position to, when the opportunity does present itself, you're ready to capitalize on it, jump on it. And then that's what you did. And here you are.
Yes. Yes. It's been great. So,
well, tell us a little bit about the growth of the Bridal Path. So you took over 6 years ago. Now y'all are here in Madison. Kind of what did you shift when you took over and has led to the continued success 6 years from now?
Yeah. I think that, you know, part of the hard part, but part of the easy part of taking over the Bridal Path at such a young age, I was only 21 whenever we bought the Bridal Path, was that I understood, you know, what people my age and our age that are shopping for a wedding dress, you know, are looking for. And I think above all else, you can learn pretty much any aspect of this business, and I already had a lot of retail experience and background with that. But at the end of the day, you just have to love others and listen to them here. And so always when I hire new salespeople, I'm like, you don't have to know everything about every single dress and every single designer. If you can just listen and hear people out on their vision and what they love, then it all comes together. And so when we first bought the store, it was like, we can't change everything in one day. And that's totally my personality. Like, I can't not have it perfect day one. And I've had to learn for sure that, you know, it's a marathon, it's not a sprint. And so we, you know, took small steps of just kind of updating things and keeping that tradition alive, because now the Bridal Path has been in business for 55 years. And so you can't, you know, take that part away from it. And that's honestly the coolest part about it, is just that we have grandmothers, mothers, and now their daughters are getting their dresses here three generations. And so that's something that, you know, you can't just create in a day. And so with that being said, I kind of took my young, modern vision and, implemented it into something that people already love and already have memories and traditions of and everything. And then from there, we kind of just grew just naturally. And a lot of, you know, social media and marketing and all that fun stuff. I like wear a thousand hats here. But I think that it's been definitely a mix of just feeling like, what would I want if I was a bride? What would my sister want if she was a bride? What do my friends want? You know, and just understanding people and listening to what's around me has definitely been a big thing.
Let's talk about those hats for a second, because I'm sure that was a weird transition to go from retail employee to retail owner.
Absolutely.
And I know there were some things that probably shocked you. So what are some big things that one would need to know before going to employee to owner?
That is something I probably should have thought about a little bit more before it happened to me. We laughed. I have a seamstress that's full-time here, and she's 88. She's been here for 40 years, and she's the most precious angel on this earth. And so when we bought the store in May, Memorial Day was coming up. And somebody, you know, one of my employees asked in the back, you know, Audrey, are we going to be open or closed for Memorial Day? And I looked at Wanda, our seamstress. I'm like, Wanda, are we open or closed on Memorial Day? I don't know. Yeah. You know, just making those kind of decisions was definitely, you know, something that I knew I was going to end up doing, but just hadn't thought that far about, you know.
Yeah.
And so it was definitely an interesting but very good transition from going to be people's coworker to like becoming their boss. And pretty much every employee I have is older than me. And so just taking things one step at a time and understanding that it's about respect and, you know, caring for others, and we're all one family. I mean, I spend more time with my people here truly than sometimes I get to spend like with Gage, my husband, or, you know, my own family. So that's been definitely important, just to show that like everybody, this is their life. They're just as committed to it as I am. And it's their choice every single day to get to work here. And so I always had to keep that, you know, in mind, even being younger. And I'm thankful for a great group of employees that do totally, you know, respect me. And, you know, everything's a group effort. And so it's not like I'm the boss and y'all are all under me. It's more like, let's work on this together and figure it out as we go. And so that's been huge with wearing a lot of different hats, just because every single one of them has been a learning process for sure.
Yeah, I feel like there's almost a trend in the industry, and Tyler, I'd like your thoughts on this too, of, you know, the traditional way an organization functions is, I'm the boss, you do what I say, I'm the manager, you do what I say. But there's been this shift, specifically with like millennials and then Gen Z after them, of like, hey, that doesn't fly with us. Like, we're cool if we make less, but at least give us some respect, right?
Absolutely.
And so I feel like that's a trend. Tyler, what are you thinking on that?
Yeah, well, I think the access to information now, and I mean, you can find another job probably in 24 hours.
Yeah.
So if you're working somewhere, it's just no one's going to sit there and be in a situation where they're like, hey, this person's just an ass to me all the time and tells me, you know, what to do and when I need to do it. And really doesn't give you the space to be creative and to, you know, do your own thing. I think that they're with your employees, there needs to be a space for them to make their decisions and to trust them to make the decisions, because as you grow and as you get bigger, if you're the only one making the decisions, it's going to be hard to scale as a company.
Absolutely.
So you'll eventually fail.
Right. And yeah, and then you'll never have any time off because you got to be there. Yeah.
I feel like, especially like with building the new building, it was like, I truly needed everyone's two cents about everything, you know, whether it was the seamstress, how they wanted their space set up, or our mother's stylist. And it's been really cool because everybody that I have here is so committed to the bridal path that they treat it as if it's their own, just like I do. And so they, I love that they take ownership in it. You know, and I've been able to delegate. As a little bit of a control freak, I definitely had to learn quickly that like I wasn't able to be in charge of everything, do everything. You know, I have my pieces, of course, that I still like to be in charge of. But I've definitely started to understand, you know, through the years, every single person's strengths, and my strengths aren't the same as your strengths. And so if I let everybody do what they love and, you know, they're good at, it definitely makes the entire ship go better.
Yeah, that's a foundation for a strong team as well.
I heard through the grapevine that y'all have a rather large social media following, that y'all do a lot on social media. You know, it doesn't pop up on my algorithm, wedding dresses.
Now mine, you've been located in the grapevine now.
It don't pop up on mine as much. But
when you start getting targeted for wedding dresses, you'll know.
But tell our listeners a little bit about that, because a lot of our listeners, you know, in the time that we live in now, that is an important thing for a business.
Absolutely.
What do y'all look at when putting out content, and what, I guess, has worked for y'all?
That's a great question. I, through the years, have, it's a full-time job. I mean, I'm not going to put it lightly, to y'all know, to do the social media. And at the end of the day, I think that social media is 150% the best way to show your voice, obviously your brand, but if it's not told through your own eyes, then it's just not believable to your customers, nor is it attracting a customer that you personally want. And so I've tried to hand off my social media duties here and there, because, like I said, last month was, you know, the busiest month we've ever had in 55 years. And I look up and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's been 6 days since I posted on Instagram, because I, you know, wear that hat too. And I do find that the more that I personally do it and, you know, put my heart and my brand and my voice behind every post, that's when I see our numbers grow so much more. I'm no social media expert. Every single day I figure out something new, or, you know, try something new, and it's totally been trial by fire. I feel like probably most people y'all talk to, it's like, I went into this and, you know, I didn't know that I was going to end up doing that, and I don't have a degree in marketing. I have a degree in fashion merchandising, and I've had to totally figure it out. But I will say that, you know, it's not been any problem with anybody that I've ever tried to hire to do our social media, but it just is never fully us unless, you know, I have my heart behind it. And so I'd say that's definitely the biggest part of it. I don't post just to post, right. You know. I think quality over quantity has definitely, like, started to become more important to us, and it's been fun to watch the numbers grow, but there are some things I know I'm, you know, not good at, so eventually I guess I'll get older and have to distribute some of the work to someone that, you know, understands TikTok and all that kind of jazz better. But
yeah, we have no idea.
The fun part about my world is that everything is pretty, and so there's never a lack of things to post. It's just a matter of having time and, you know, brain power and
all right. Yeah, and from a lot of our listeners, that's what we hear, is the quality over quantity thing. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, just being a consumer, when you're on social media, the last thing you want to see is a bunch of nonsense. It's like, this,
absolutely.
Like, I'm getting sick of seeing this. And then, you know, we have all our older relatives, they're posting like this paragraph on Facebook, I do not want to see any more spam stuff. And I'm like, I don't know if that's going to work. But people, it just goes to show that people don't, you know, they don't want spam stuff. They want to say, hey, what are you doing there? Like,
absolutely.
What are the employees doing? Like, what's it like to work there? What's it like to go buy a dress there?
It is unbelievable, the power of social media, though. I mean, we have, obviously, the new space has been a really easy way to, you know, have great content. Mm-hmm. It's all pretty. And, you know, we've done some photo shoots, and it's just been a breath of fresh air for everyone. And so that's given me, like, some extra momentum, I feel like, in the last 6 or 8 months. But, I mean, we have people that find us on social media, and they have been flying in from, you know, all over. We have had so many out-of-state customers the last few months, and that's been something that never in a million years would I have dreamed, that someone that lives in Dallas with every option in the universe would, you know, fly in to Mississippi to be able to shop for a wedding dress or a Mother of the Bride dress. And so that's just beyond my wildest dreams. But we have had a lot of that. And I mean, that's the fun, crazy part about the social media and the internet, is that you can find anything you want to. Right. So that's been really, really cool for us. But I would say more than anything over social media is word of mouth for us. I mean, this is an experience, and it's something that you could think is pretty on Instagram, but then if your best friend says, I bought my wedding dress there and it was the best experience I've ever had, that means 1,000 times more than our Instagram being pretty. And so it's been really fun because we've had like little pockets of people from different areas. Like we have this little group of mothers from Springfield, Missouri. And one lady came here because her daughter-in-law lived here and told her to come to Bridal Path. And then, you know, she tells her friend. And so they all come in from Springfield as a little group. And, you know, 15 of them now have all bought their mother's dresses from Springfield. And so it's just funny how you're like, oh yeah, we owe that one person a big commission check because we'll have little pockets of people that you know is nothing but word of mouth. So,
yeah. Well, and I think, you know, like you said, it is an experience when you come here. Like, obviously, I've never come here and bought a dress, but I have heard that, you know, it is an experience to come in here and get a dress. And I think we had another guest on that, and you have to remind me, I know Pyron's the last name, maybe. I may be saying that to her. They do hats.
Oh, Mary Langdon Pyron.
Yeah, Mary Langdon. Mm-hmm. They do the hats, and I think it's kind of the same thing. It's like, you know, people come from out of town.
My sister's done that, and it's like the coolest thing ever.
But it's, and I think that consumers, they really enjoy that, especially when they're coming to purchase an item like a wedding dress, something that's very important to them.
Absolutely.
That it is an experience, and it's just not like, hey, I'm just going in and I got three options and
just gonna grab a shirt and don't need any help.
Kind of like whenever me and Dakota go shop, that's what we do.
Well, you got to think about, like, when you look at something like a new shirt that you've bought or a new dress or a new anything that you have, new shoes, you think about the experience that went with that, whether you consciously do it or subconsciously do it. You're thinking about happy memories or sad memories. So if you have a fantastic experience buying bourbon at Cheers with JT, you know, he makes you feel like you had a great experience there.
Absolutely.
So you did.
Yeah.
And then you want to go back and then you want to tell people about it. And
for
so
sure.
That client experience factor is
it's
so
huge.
Underrated in business today, but it's the main driver of recurring business and referrals and whatnot.
Absolutely, especially for brick and mortar. I mean, of course, you can order a wedding dress online if you'd like, but who wants to do that? Like, this is the fun of wedding planning. Has so many different aspects that are not fun. You know, you're paying a lot of money for things, picking out like endless tedious things as a bride. I mean, I know that both of y'all probably watched your wives have to do that. And
I got real good at nodding my head.
Yeah, you're like, sure, whatever you say. But I would say that, you know, the wedding dress shopping experience is the highlight of most brides' memories. And we always want that to, you know, be that way, because I'll sit around a dinner table of 12 girls, you know, talking at dinner, and they all remember, whether it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 2 years ago, they say, oh, well, my mom loved this one and my grandmother loved that one, but then Audrey came out with this very last dress and that ended up being the one. Like, I don't remember that, but they remember every bit of the process. And so I try not to let my everyday make it wear. It feels like my norm. I mean, it is my norm, but I try not to get numb to the fact that this is like one of the most memorable and important days of a lot of girls' lives with their family, and not in a sad, you know, morbid way, but we have lost, you know, a lot of moms and grandmothers and, you know, people that have come shopping a year out and then they lose them before the wedding, and the picture that they're posting on Instagram, you know, to commemorate them is when they're shopping at Bridal Path. And I'm like, that is just something you cannot replace.
What an honor.
You know, it's a huge honor. So
And I think there's been a shift in the consumers too, that they appreciate the experience more than, you know, going online and buying something. There's no experience there for that, and then also you don't know what you're getting either. But
absolutely.
But I think people enjoy, especially after COVID, being able to just go out, go somewhere and experience being around people and having an experience versus life happening so fast and we just do this just to get it out of the way.
I totally agree with that.
Well, Dakota, I think it's a good time for a bourbon break.
Yes. Four Roses, small batch, 90 proof.
Man, you finished yours already.
I really like it. Well, you poured me a small amount this morning, so I was a little upset. I wanted some more. But it was delicious, man. It was fantastic. Honestly, it had a little bit of a sweet hint to it. I don't know if you tasted that too, but it was smooth. It was a little bit sweet, but it still had that little bourbon kick to it, that taste that I like. So I'm going to go 9.3.
Thank you.
A little higher than you were, 9.2. And back to the podcast.
That's a first.
I told Dakota y'all should have invited my husband. He knows about as much as I do about the bridal path and loves bourbon the most. So I'll have to tell him this is what I did this morning. He'll be shocked I'm over here drinking bourbon at 8 o'clock in the morning.
I'll get a phone call from Gage. Like, dude, what happened? What do you think about the current state of the wedding industry? Just like from a national standpoint and the inflation, how has that impacted supply chain with COVID and all that good stuff? Where does that leave y'all?
Absolutely. I would say first and foremost, I think that one of the biggest changes in the wedding industry has just been, like a lot of industries, just inclusivity has been major. You know, when I first started working at the Bridal Path, we didn't have the option to get samples really often in plus sizes or different customizations that would make different girls more comfortable. It was a very couture, you know, insiders only type of vibe.
Interesting.
And I remember whenever I just worked at the Bridal Path thinking when someone that didn't look like everybody else came in, like, oh gosh, like I hope that I can make them happy because the options were just not there. And so the day that we bought the Bridal Path, I was like, I don't care if we have to pay twice for samples that are, you know, more inclusive for different options and all that. Like, we have to be able to please every single person that walks through these doors, because it's pressure enough to have to find a wedding dress in general. No matter what you look like or what your budget is or what your size is, you're nervous. Like, I have good friends that are like, I'm shaking when I walk through the doors, and I'm like, there is no reason for that. I promise it'll be okay. But I had that sense of, oh my gosh, like I need this to be something that I don't feel panic. I can feel confident 100% whether you walk in, no matter what your request is. And so I would say the industry as a whole has gotten a whole lot better about fitting different sizes, different budgets. Of course, we have as buyers done a ton of that too. But it's been a really big push for, you know, different inclusive options. So that's been cool to watch even over the last like 10 years that I've been here. So that's been cool more recently. Mm-hmm. I would say when we first bought the Bridal Path, inheriting like a lot of orders that someone else had placed, and it's very detail oriented job. If you press 2 instead of 22, you got a problem. If you press 22 instead of 2, you have a huge problem. So there are a lot of factors that are just one color name different or one size number different that make a big difference. And so whenever we first bought the Bridal Path, I inherited quite a few, you know, problems, and I figured out quickly who could help me, how they could help me. And every designer that we have a very close relationship with now, because I figured out, like, this is a business where somebody is trusting me to make their one and only. It's not like you have another meal the next day. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is your one shot at getting it perfect. And there's nothing besides perfection that is acceptable here. And so I let that weigh on me for a long time, and it still does, because that's why I'm good at my job. But at the same time, I thought, Lord, if I can make it through this and I learn who I can trust and all that, then I'll get a lot further. And so we dropped designers, we added designers, and formed these relationships that helped a ton, because by the time COVID hit, 2 years after us buying the Bridal Path, I had designers that I knew were on my team. And so COVID, even being closed for 6 to 8 weeks, you know, this is something, people still need a wedding dress, whether they could come shopping during those 6 weeks or not. The day we opened, everybody was back. And so I would say that buying the Bridal Path and inheriting a mix of issues was honestly more stressful than COVID as a whole, which I know sounds crazy, but by then I kind of had my ways of doing things. I had a backup A, B, and C plan for everyone. And so, yes, it was stressful, and it was a logistics nightmare for people that were having a big wedding and then having a small wedding and then delaying their wedding, and then they're pregnant before they do that. And so in alterations, we're remaking stuff. But we have a fix for everything. And so at the end of the day, my employee, Angie, she's like, we're just problem solvers. That's all we do all day long. Everyone comes in with a problem, per se, and it gets better. With that being said, I think that COVID was a real wake-up call for our designers because they thought, gosh, like, we're very dependent on our factories. Like, everyone's going, well, then maybe we should just do stuff that's made in America 100% because we're having all these issues with China, shipping and all that. But then we have dresses that are hanging there, put together in America or Canada or whatever, hanging there with no zippers that match the dresses because they're coming from China. And so it's like, it doesn't matter where your lace is actually constructed and put together in person, we're influenced by everything in this world. So with ship dates and, you know, we have a definite date that we need things by, and there is no invitations have been sent out, like, you're wearing a dress one way or another. So that was big for the designers. They've kept a lot more stock, like hanging stock that we can get, and that's been huge because we see a lot more close weddings than we used to. Like you said, I think that people are kind of forgetting about the, like, not important stuff anymore and really valuing what is important. And so we've seen a lot more, like, close wear dates, girls that are not trying to plan this whole crazy thing, you know, they just want to get married and be with the person that they love. And so that's been huge. It's just taught us that, like, you can't take the way things are for granted ever. And I think that the supply chain issues as a whole have been overcompensated, really, because they're just trying to cushion in case something does happen. So it's been good. Yeah.
Well, and, you know, with weddings, I know that there are a lot that you talked about, the expectation that consumers want things to be perfect. And obviously, I feel like with weddings, that's even more.
Definitely.
Because I get nervous just going to weddings that I'm going to get in trouble for doing something. So I can't imagine being in charge of doing anything there, or especially the dress. But what are some ways that, you know, you could tell our listeners that, you know, them dealing with their clients, how do you set that expectation of with that client and deliver on that?
Absolutely. I think that a huge difference between us and a lot of other stores is that we do everything all under one roof. And of course, you can go here, there, and everywhere in a close radius and get things done. But people, I'm in this store every single day. And I know that there's owners that are not always present for different reasons, but when a bride comes in and they have trusted me from the beginning, they know I'm going to be here every single time they come back. And so just building that relationship and that trust aspect, you know, from selling them a wedding dress to begin with, and then they pick out bridesmaids and we take care of every single one of their bridesmaids and then their mother's dresses. And then we do alterations, and alterations are kind of my biggest blessing and biggest curse at the same time, because it's the tedious, not fun, you know, we're nitpicking every little bit of it until the bitter end sometimes. But that's, I can sell you a wedding dress that somewhat fits you, but if I can't sculpt it to make it look absolutely perfect for your wedding day, then what's the point? You know, I don't want you to go to your wedding and tell people, oh yeah, my dress is from Bridal Path, and it doesn't look incredible on you. And so I realized that, you know, I'm going to do the very best I can every single day. And as long as the bride and I understand that we're on the same team and that we have that mutual trust in each other, I know that my seamstresses and my salespeople and all of that are working towards the same goal. And so I think just taking that pressure, it is pressure by all means. And you need that pressure so that you're not haphazardly, you know, just sending people out and not caring about a dress. But I think the trust aspect is huge here, and we get the chance to be able to build the trust, I mean, throughout a year, throughout 6 months, you know, we really get to know people well. And it's hard, but it's so much fun, and it's the most rewarding thing in the world. I tell people all the time, I'm like, you know, like, people are like, I bet this is just la la land. You just sell wedding dresses and everyone's so happy. And, you know, I'm like, yeah, it is, you know, 98% of the time, but the 2% is crazy and, you know, not what you think, and dragging the trash cans to the end of the street. But at the end of the day, I'd rather have a bad day here, you know, than anywhere else. And so, whenever the pressure gets, you know, too much, sometimes I have to remind myself, like, it's just, you know, it's another day, take it one step at a time, and we'll figure out, you know, the result to everything. So,
all right. Well, and I guess that never crossed my mind. I didn't realize y'all were like actually sculpting the dresses to them. Mm-hmm. You know, meanwhile, you got the grooms, like we're trading shirts and stuff.
Yeah.
To
like,
make
man,
sure.
Dude, my shirt's like, did right.
My
yeah.
pants are showing my whole
like,
top.
Like,
yeah.
we just broke it out of the pack like 2 minutes before the wedding starts.
People ask us, they're like, are y'all not going to do tuxes or suits? I'm like, oh gosh, I don't have it in me. I'm like, what, maybe one day if Gage McCarty decides that he wants to come to the bridal path, I'll put him in charge of that. But otherwise, I'm not dealing with all that today. So
yeah, I had a buddy, one of the guys in my wedding. His shoe like fell apart as he was putting it on. Like the sole fell off. And so he kind of like duct taped it together just to like walk down and walk back. And nobody knew.
It's like, just don't make a scene.
Yeah.
We laugh because we're like, bridesmaids are unorganized enough. Like, I cannot take a groomsman, you know.
Very unorganized.
Yeah, just a little bit. Just a little bit. Well, Audrey, we really appreciate you coming on today. And this was a fantastic episode. And we'd love to get your thoughts on the bourbon.
Yes. Well, first of all, it's February. I think it's perfect that y'all pick something with a rose in the name. And then, you know, for Christmas this year, I gave my dad tickets to do the Bourbon Trail.
Nice.
Fantastic.
And so I figured that he and the boys, my sister's, you know, fiance and my husband would go with them, but I might have to invite myself.
There
now.
You go. Yeah. Yeah.
In the grand scheme of all the bourbons, though, that I taste, you know. Not high, so I don't know how my rating really counts. My dad's a big Maker's Mark guy, so I can't rate it higher than that.
Fair enough.
But we'll give it a 9.5 because I tasted it without cringing. So
there we go.
Does that count?
There you go. Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
So we'll be generous and we'll give four raises a 9.4.
9.4.
So how's that
fair.
Sound?
Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
And for all our listeners at the end, we always like if there's someone out there saying, hey, we won't, you know, I have a wedding coming up. I don't know what I'm going to do for my wedding dress.
Yeah.
What is the best way for them to get in touch with y'all and to set up to come in and have that experience?
Absolutely. So we do require appointments just so that you can have that experience. It's for your good, not ours necessarily. We just want to be able to show you the colors and options and everything that each dress comes in and just really style your entire experience. So you can make an appointment for bridal, bridesmaids, mothers, flower girl. If you're a girl in a wedding, we pretty much have everything that you could possibly need head to toe. And you can make an appointment by calling us at 601-982-8267. On our website is always easy, bridalpathinc.com. And then we have The Bridal Path is our Facebook and Instagram. And I don't know if y'all will critique the social media by then because y'all know that it's me here behind it. But feel free to look through that and see what we offer and kind of what we're all about. And we're always available any which way. So, yeah.
Great. Well, thanks for coming on today.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And to all our listeners, if you would go give us a follow on social media and rate this podcast however you stream it. And we'll see you next week. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode.
If you have any feedback or would like to be featured, reach out to us at bourbonandbusinesspodcast@gmail.com.
Or find us on Instagram at bourbonandbusinesspodcast.
Thanks again for listening.
Follow us for more content and info on the next episode.